Well, listen, we got some incredible times going on this morning. We are like extremely blessed. Caitlin is going to bring the word this morning. I'm telling you, I was just so impressed at the funeral yesterday, the memorial service, that I was just like, man, the whole body has to hear this word. Just came fresh out of, I mean, if you don't know, Caitlin lost her dad, Mike Tizzo, on Tuesday. And just to see, you know, the faith that has come out of Sarah and Caitlin, and just the authenticity of this trust in God, this looking to Jesus during, like, one of the most terrible losses that you can experience. It's like a parent dying, especially when they're younger. And so I just want her to share this morning and just bless us, because I think it charged my heart, and the presence of God was so strong. And I want to give an opportunity for more. There wasn't a whole lot of people from the church. There was a great showing, but I'm not saying it like that, but as far as like the Sunday gathering, I just think it'll really bless us. And so I just want you to give her a big welcome.
See, there you got the water. I definitely need the water. It's really hard to talk for a long time. You feel like you're choking, so give me a second. Just give me 1 second. So, if anybody in here didn't know my dad, he was an incredible human being. He loved people so immensely, so well. He was really amazing at being steadfast and laboring with people, and really embodying like love that suffers long, love that is quick to forgive, love that doesn't hold a record of wrongdoing. Like he just got that because he needed that. He could give that away because he had that. I love you. And a lot of people like saw him as this joyful, bubbly, strong, like powerful man. And he was. He was all of those things. But he was also very dependent on Christ because he was very broken in his heart. And not a lot of people knew that about him, because my dad for a long time was just petrified of community, petrified of opening his heart up and letting people see what darkness was in him. And I can't obviously share all of those things, but I have to tell you they were dark and they were scary for him to look at. He would always say, I'm so scared of what's inside of me, Kate. I'm scared. But I just wanted to read a little excerpt from his eulogy. I won't read the whole thing because it's 4 pages long. But my father endured deep trauma, suffered immensely at the hands of other people, and paid a lot of heavy prices for his own actions. He struggled with drug addiction and fought deep within himself against many demons. For the last 7 years, my sister and I have watched God change him from the inside out. In those 7 years, we were restored together after not being with each other for almost 10. In those 7 years, my father became my daddy. He became my support, my protector, my authority, my leader, my rock, my spiritual covering in Christ, and most recently I realized that he is my best friend. I can't express all that I have learned from being his daughter. In the last 7 years, he also saw his children get married and was present in the lives of his 3 grandchildren, a sight that a lot of my family, we didn't think that we were going to see that because of the turmoil that he dealt with within himself. In this generation, There is such poverty in respect and honor for people older than you. I did not respect or honor my father well when I first moved in with him in Haverhill 7 years ago. I guess I thought he owed me or I had something to prove. But I am so thankful that I allowed God to teach me how. There is nothing more rewarding or affirming than showering your dad with honor and respect. I would still honor him, even if it seemed undeserving, and I had to go through a process before I arrived to that great conclusion because, of course, I'm like, well, he's not respecting me. He's not respecting my space. He doesn't know how to talk to me. Why should I respect him? He's being selfish. But love suffers long. Like, it doesn't repay evil for evil. I felt so much fulfillment and personal growth by honoring him as my dad. It filled me with so much joy that I would get creative about how can I honor my father today? How can I respect him? How can I show him that he's worthy of honor and respect? Because my relationship with him shifted because of that. Because like I said, there was a change in my heart, a shift in my heart. Like, I wasn't running to my dad to see what I could get from him, but I wanted to give all that I had to him. Because he's my dad, and the word is true. Like, honor your mother and father, and it will go well with you on the earth. Something he said to me recently was, you know something, Kate? I know when I'm being disrespected by someone. You want to know why? Because you and your sister have shown me what it means to be highly honored and respected. You girls have shown Daddy exactly what respect looks like. My father taught me how to love. I have never met a more compassionate, patient, kind, tender, or merciful person. He cared about other people so much. He had such a good heart. He always challenged me to extend mercy to people when I wanted to lash out at them, which I'm sure we're all familiar with the feeling of, why is this person so dumb? Like, why won't you just obey the truth? I've been there and I am still dumb and still struggle obeying God in certain areas of my life. So I'm not above that in any way, shape, or form. But that was one of the ways that my dad taught me how to love, is he challenged me to love people that are hard to love, people that push your buttons, people that rub you the wrong way, people that just irritate you for no reason. God is not irritated easily. Love is not easily irritated. But the most powerful way that my dad taught me love was the way that he loved me. And it's unnerving how recent this memory is, but it was one of the most powerful moments of my life. My father was taking me to urgent care. My son was a week and a half old. And women, you know, those lovely varicose veins that you get that make your legs feel like they're going to fall off. So I was like limping around his house. He's like, Kate, you need to go to urgent care. And my sister like, you need to go to urgent care. I'm like, all right, I'll go. So my dad took me because, he's a good dad. And, we were driving and we went to pass a Dunkin' Donuts. And as you guys know, my dad always had a cup of Dunkin's in his hand, or some form of caffeine, and I said, Dad, there's a Dunkin's right there. If you want something, we're going to be sitting for a while, so I know that was like me. I'm like, this is a creative way to show my dad I love him, so let me mention this to him. But the very next statement that came out of my mouth was such an orphan mentality statement that it caused my dad to stop the car in the parking lot, and what I had said was, I don't expect anything from you. I don't want you to think that I want something from you. I just want you to have something if you want it. And he stopped the car and he looked at me in my eyes and he's like, Kate, I'm your father. If there's something that you want, Daddy will get it for you. You don't ever have to feel like you can't have something from me or that you can't ask me for something. And he was just a man. Like Sarah said yesterday, like he was just a man and he loved me and Sarah so much, so, so much, like more than anything in his life. And he's just a man, and the love that he drew from was not his own strength. It wasn't him. It was Jesus. Like, he was connected to the Father because he needed the Father, and we have to be aware of our need for Christ. Like, where we can't, your strength is worthless. It's like trying to, you can't cleanse you. You can't make you better. It's like taking dirt and trying to rub it on a kneecap with a boo-boo. Like, that doesn't work. Like, that's not, it doesn't work. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, I'm going to read just a little excerpt out of 1 Corinthians 13, because He would say to me all the time, Kate, use this not in a religious way, but as a checklist. Can you live up to this? Can you live up to this? Like, do you love people this way? Do you do this, you know? So, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own interest, is not provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And recently I've been looking in that and just asking myself, like, am I being patient? Am I being kind? Like, am I truly being patient? Am I truly being kind? And a lot of times I just try to do that out of my own strength, and a lot of times I end up being critical and judgmental instead, and then I'm cranky and upset that people are being dumb and I'm not even giving them the love of Christ. But my dad gave his best effort to live up to that scripture, and I feel like he really did a good job at teaching me and my sister how to do that. One of the last times that he was in detox, he cried to me on the phone. And Sarah and I have been with my dad on this journey for the last 7 years, and we've walked through with him a lot of emotions and just going back and forth, laboring with him in his heart. And there's only a handful of times that he has, like, sobbed. Only a handful of times. But this last time, the cry that came out of him, like, shook me, and it made me feel like I was listening to a little boy that couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. But what he had said, he was on the phone, he was letting me know, like, I'm going in. And he's like, Kate, I just don't understand how God would still love me. Like, I have wasted so much time, Kate. I don't know why God even wants anything to do with me. And he just started to sob. And it's like, if anybody depicts the image of a prodigal son, it's my dad. Because wasting your inheritance, he wasted so much time because of his choices. He wasted so much time because of fear and anxiety and just what are people going to think, and pride. And, like, there were so many dreams that he wanted to accomplish for the kingdom. Like, he had all of these hopes and visions. I mean, he would minister to people for hours. Like, when we lived with him in Haverly, he'd have people over the house all the time. And I was so immature at the time, and it used to drive me nuts. I'd be like, get these people out. They're making a mess in my kitchen. They're not putting the plates back when they're done with it, Dad. There's toilet paper on the floor. They're disrespecting our home. He's like, Caitlin, this is the Lord's house. We're here to serve God's people so that they can be healed. And I'd be like, all right, but they can't pick up a towel? Like, what's wrong with them? Like, I would get so frustrated. I will never forget one time we had people over, and they came in, ate all of the food that I made, and they left everything everywhere. Like, they just left everything the way it was. And, like, my father was like, Kate, do you want to live or do you want to die? Like, he just was so good at just smacking the hammer down in those moments. Like, Kate, do you want to be free? Do you want to live or do you want to die? But one of the things I mentioned yesterday was that Christianity, like having a relationship with Jesus, it's not a random set of rules that we follow to make ourselves pure. My dad didn't spend most of his time preaching the gospel to people just because he was converted to a set of dead rules. Because they're dead if you don't have relationship with the Father. Like, even with our own children, if I don't love Mila well and I don't make her secure in my love for her, because that's my job to make her secure in my love for her. It's not her job. That's my job. Why would she want to obey me? Why would she even be like, yeah, Mom, whatever. You know, why would she want to listen to my voice? Anyway. Jesus is the one that cleanses us. Jesus is the one that makes us pure. Like I said, you can't rub dirt on dirt and expect it to make you clean. So why did Jesus die for our sins? Like, if we grew up in the church or we've been a Christian for a long time, it's like, he died for our sins so we could go to heaven. Absolutely. He died for our sins so that we could be free from sin. Absolutely. But one of the biggest things that really blows my mind about why Jesus died. Like, he fulfilled prophecy about him before he was born and all these other things. But the biggest thing that really hits me is that he died to reconcile us to the Father. That's really the point. Like, it is about Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. And some of us are so familiar with Jesus, but like, it's about the Father. It's about the Father's heart. Like, he wants us to be with our dad, because that was the whole point. Because God is God. He could have opened the sky every time one of us became, you know, old enough to understand like sin and life, and said, if you live for me, you can come up here and be with me. He could have done it that way because he's God. But instead, he decided to display himself in the earth in Jesus and show us that it is attainable to run after the perfection of God. We'll never be perfect, obviously, but we can run hard after it as if we could. We could do everything in our power to run after this life that transforms us and changes us from the inside out. And what is the purpose of all that? Why does it matter? Why do we need the Father's love? Because it changes us. Because we've all had pain. We've all been abused. We've all been betrayed. We've all been suffering from crap. Like, we all have crap, no matter how desperate your life story is or how not desperate. Like, you have humanity and you will suffer, and you need Christ. You need the Father to change and transform. You need that love. But like, why does that matter? You know, this is how my dad would always talk to me. He'd be like, but why, Kate? Why does it matter that Jesus cleanses you? Why does it matter? So you can't boast in your own righteousness, because your strength will fail every time. Why does it matter that you need the Father, Kate? Why does that matter? So that we can build his kingdom in the earth, so that we know what he's saying, so that we know what he's doing, so that we can be his hands and feet in the earth. Our job is to reconcile the lost. We are his kids, and we have to go convince everybody else that you're his kids too. It would be like if Sarah and I found a sister that my parents had to give up for adoption, and she had no idea who her parents were, and we had running around trying to persuade her and convince her desperately. No, you have parents that love you. You have a dad that loves you. You have people who made you and love you and want to meet you. No, we know him. We know him. He's good, and he protects us, and he loves us, and he cares about us. Will you come meet him? Please come meet him. And this is Jesus. This is his heart. This is the whole point of his life, was to draw us into the Father's heart. Because God is a God of love, and he is a God of family, and he is a God of his church. I was watching a video of my dad preaching on Facebook. Because, you know, he'd go on these, like, blurbs where he would share, like, 10 videos in 30 minutes. And he'd be like, Kate, did you see my video? And, of course, in my arrogance, I'd be like, yeah, Dad, like, I hear you talk about this stuff all the time. I love you. I'll watch it later. I will be watching them for the rest of my life. But one of the things that he said was, and he started off his video saying the same thing I'm saying, why do we need Jesus? Salvation is full of glory. Salvation brings us into a place where we can walk in our identity, knowing that we are massively loved by the Father. God is good, and his mercy is new every morning. My father died on Tuesday, and I am still screaming that God is good. It was one of the first things out of me and Sarah's mouth, is that God is good. It was one of the most painful yeses I gave to God. But he is good. He is good. Like, I adored my father, and he adored me and my sister. But God is good. He is kind. He is full of mercy. Like, he is full of love. That's crazy. That is crazy. Like, yesterday I was saying, like, that's crazy. Like, who does that? Who says that? Who says, like, God's good after their father dies? Like, it isn't like Sarah and I had some off-the-wall relationship with him. We lived with him. We labored with him. We went on a journey with him. Like, and he came into our lives, but he came into our hearts. And now he's gone. But God is still good. Like, he is a good God. One of the things that my grandmother said, and I put it in the eulogy, but I loved what she had said, was that, you guys, you know something? We're all shocked. We're stunned. Like, my family is stunned. But imagine how my father feels, or how he felt, opening his eyes and going, oh my God, that's Jesus. Like, this thing that he'd been living for his whole life, like, pouring out and talking about this stuff his whole life. Like, just, he opened his eyes and he saw his King face to face. Like, he's looking at Jesus right now. He is looking at God right now. This whole thing has really caused my sister and I and our husbands to just, there's things that, like, in us that we are afraid of and anxious about, and like, oh, I know God's calling me to do this, but I'm nervous. I know God's telling me to do this, but I'm scared. I know God's telling me to do this, but I just don't think I'm ready yet. I need more time. I need more discipleship. I need more this. I need more that. Like, within the first 48 hours, the fear of man completely fell off of me. Like, I don't have time to be anxious. I don't have time to be nervous. I don't have time. Like, the kingdom is at hand. Like, we do not have time. Time is extremely precious and very fast. Like, we don't have time. We have to make the most of every opportunity. Like, it has to be the source and the drive. It has to be, like, the fire of our life. We don't have a lot of time to do the mission. Like, we're on a mission, guys. Like, life is a gift, and God wants to give us beautiful things, but we have a job to do. And that was one of my dad's biggest things, was, like, we need to be reaching the lost. We need to be bringing people in, and we all need to be transformed and be in unity and move forward with force and, like, take over the world, you know? Like, that's our mission, is to spread the love of God. Like, why? So we can help the rest of humanity. Like, we were them at one point. Like, that was, like, before we got saved. Like, we were darkened in our mind and we didn't know. Thank God somebody told us, like, the truth. We know the truth. We cannot waste any time. We know the truth. One of the things I used to get scared about was, you know, you're in the grocery store and God's like, go talk to that person. And I'm just like, no, Mila's in the car. And I immediately your mind starts rationalizing why you should or should not, or why you can't, or why you're not ready, or why it's not important right now. Like, obedience is the only way. Like, obedience will bring us into the most rich life that we're looking for. We're all looking for this beautiful, awesome life, but obedience is the only way into the thing that you really want, that you're really looking for, because what you're really looking for is something that's bigger than yourself, something that lives beyond you. You have to fulfill your purpose in Christ, because that's why you were made. It's like taking a vacuum. I say this, you can ask my family, I say this example all the time. It's like taking a vacuum to vacuum the rug, and you read one thing out of there and say, oh, point the nozzle and do such and such, but you vacuum water out of a pool. You're going to break the vacuum. So if you're not a pool vacuum, why are you vacuuming water? That's why you're not working right. It's why you're not functioning right in your calling, because you're trying to do stuff that God didn't make you for. Like, stop running towards broken things that don't work. Like, Jesus made you, fully equipped us to be able to have access, to be free from sin, to be free from a life that doesn't have purpose, that doesn't fulfill you or tell you and remind you daily, like, why you're alive. We cannot waste any more time. Before my dad died, I actually, you know, because I had been struggling with the grocery store thing, like, and God always does it to me when I'm in the grocery store, and it really frustrates me, because that's my favorite place to be. So I'm just like, Lord, please, you know? And there was this guy standing behind me, and I was running around like crazy. I don't know where we were going, what we were doing, but I had to go in there and just grab stuff real quick. And the guy behind me had a can of Red Bull, just a can of Red Bull. And the Lord's like, I want you to pay for it. And I was like, well, Red Bull's expensive. And I'm sitting there at the whatever it is, where you pay for it. I'm not even, the register thing, whatever. And I keep rationalizing. I'm like, well, God, I don't know. Like, what if he doesn't want me to... I want you to pay for it, Kate. I'm like, but I, you know, what if he feel, Kate, I want you to pay for his Red Bull. And I'm running out of time, because he's scanning my items and I'm running out of time. And so I'm like, oh man, well, I only have two items left, Lord. It's too late. And he's like, Kate, don't waste your time. Like, don't waste your time, Kate. Like, and the Lord was so clear, like, in that moment to me. He's like, do you want to obey me or not? Amen. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't fight this anymore. I can't be scared of what people are going to say. I can't be afraid. Like, I can't let my friends keep rolling around in their crap when I want to say something to them. I have to be courageous and speak the truth, because I am going to have a king that I answer to one day. And I am not going to waste that moment on anyone, honestly. And so I turned around and I looked at the guy and I was like, can I pay for that for you? And he didn't speak English, like, awesomely. He was able to talk with me, but I think what he thought I was trying to say was that I wanted it. He's like, oh, this, you want this? I said, yeah, I want to buy it for you. And he immediately, the shame that went over his face, he's like, no, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. Why? Why do you want to do that for me? Why do you, like, he was so blown away. He's like, why would you want to do something like that? Like, that is crazy. Like, that's today's culture. Like, why would you want to do something nice for me? Like, Christians, we should be, like, buying everybody's Red Bull. Like, that's not, that is, like, so ridiculous. Like, just a simple, kind gesture like that, you know? And so I took the can and I put it on my side. And he kept saying, he had cash in his hand. And he's like, here, you take this, you take this. I said, no, I don't want it. He's like, please, I won't feel happy. I won't feel happy. And I said, I will feel happy. Please let me do this for you. And I said it to him three times. Please let me do this for you. Please let me do this for you. And he said, but why? 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 And he couldn't get over it. I said, and I just put my hand on his shoulder. I said, God told me to do this for you. And God wants you to know that he loves you. And he was like stunned. And he just started, his eyes started welling up with tears. And like in that moment, like it sparked something in me. Like that was so fulfilling. Like that made me feel so alive. Like not because I was like, oh, Kate bought someone's Red Bull, because to be honest with you, I'm upset that I can't drink Red Bull. So, it smells delicious. It's like really, anyways. He was just blown away by that, and he walked away with the can, and as he's walking out of the store, he's like, just looking and like, starts like getting emotional, and I was just like, and so I got in the car and I thought, what if I had taken it a step further and kept praying for him? What if I like took time to sit there and listen longer and be there longer and spend my time there longer? Like, I don't know his journey. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. I pray to God that someone meets him and God continues to do small moments like that. But my dad would say all the time, like, Kate, I'm just a vessel. We're just vessels. And he would touch his face and he'd touch my face and he would say, this is going to burn. This is going to burn. Like, this is not going to exist. This, we're not living for right now. Like, heaven has never been more real to me than it is right now. We're not living for right now. It is a tangible place that we are going to, that we're depositing into. This is so temporary. It's so temporary. We're not living for right now. We literally are storing up for somewhere else. And if that's not a reality to you today, you need to pray. You need to come up here and pray. Like, Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. If this is not a reality in your life, if you're saved and you're just like, oh, I just can't. Like, God wants to use your life in such a beautiful way. Not because he just wants to use his kids, but what he wants to do with you will give you the richest, most emotionally even satisfying life that you could ever have. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. There's nothing else. So...
Let's have the worship team come up. I really feel like I want to give some time for response, you know. She hit on a lot of things, but, you know, I think the main driving point was God is real. He has a plan, and he wants a real relationship where we aren't playing games. We aren't playing church. We're, like, letting God be God in our life. And it comes down to that one place of obedience. Are you playing games with God? And, you know, one of the things that I've realized is, you know, a lot of people are struggling. But in struggle, what do? The most? We point finger at other people and say, oh, you're my real problem. And really, God's going, no, you're the real problem right there. You got something going on in your heart, and you are just blame shifting to everybody else. And I really feel like God's saying, like, hey, I'm calling you to obedience. I want a real, authentic relationship with you. You, Buster. So this morning, you know, I've been inspired by Caitlin and by Sarah. I mean, inspired by just their faith in God. They don't claim to be perfect, but they got some faith going on. They got some trust in God in a real tough situation going on. And they're taking that and they're letting God change their heart and shift things. And I want to be like that when I grow up. Let's ask God to do that in our heart. Let's ask. I don't care how old you are in the Lord or how mature you are. We all need to keep growing into His likeness and His image. So let's just ask Him. Say, God, come on. Come into my heart and teach me your obedience. Teach me your ways. Come on, let's invite Him in. Your own words, your own ways. God sees you. He's not waiting for you to pray the right prayer because He sees your heart already. Let's just ask Him. Ask Him to do a fresh work in us. Come on.